Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. I wouldn't trade the moving of God's Spirit for all the money in the world. Amen. He knows what we have need of. He knows. And He can meet every need in this house. At the moment of our faith, reaching out, reaching up, and touching Him. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you will turn to the book of Mark's Gospel, St. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 16. St. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 16. And I'm going to be reading two verses of Scripture. Mark chapter 16 and verse number 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning humbly to the very throne room of grace. We stand in awe this morning at Your presence. Lord, we feel the life of the river of the Holy Ghost this morning. I'm asking You, Lord, that You would anoint every ear in this house that we can hear what the Holy Ghost would say to us. Lord, I pray that You'd anoint these lips of clay with that holy, precious anointing that makes preaching effective. I pray, Lord, that You would change us and transform us by the power of Your Spirit, by Your Word. Lord, we're going to give You all the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I'm going to preach to you this morning for a few minutes on this simple thought, a manifestation of Pentecost. Pentecost is more than a denomination. Pentecost is an experience. I don't know about you, but I have had a divine encounter with a supernatural God. Think about it this morning. The third person of the triune Godhead moving and operating in this service today, and He would come and take up residence in a clay tenement body. I'm going to tell you, we serve a good God, and Pentecost is God's answer for this last day. It is a command to go and tarry in Jerusalem until you've been endued with power from on high. You know something, this morning, this old world, this old sin sick world is bound. They are wicked and they need help, and it's something other than what religion of today can give them. I'll tell you what this world needs. They need a blood bought church that's full of the Holy Ghost and with fire. That fire will burn up the chaff. That fire will convict hearts. That fire does something that nothing else can do. It is Pentecostal fire, and God hasn't changed. He still gives it today to the hungry, the thirsty, and those who are craving His presence. Listen, we need to be full of the Holy Ghost. Get filled and refilled again with the Spirit of the living God. It was Leonard Ravenhill, the great preacher, who said this: it is imperative that we be filled with the Holy Ghost, not just one time, but every single day. Why, they asked Brother Ravenhill. He said, simply because we leak. We need to be filled up. A river has an inlet and an outlet. That river in Mississippi starts in Minnesota, and it's so small and narrow, you can walk across that Mississippi River. But that river begins to gain momentum through those northern states, on down to the state of Mississippi where I'm from. And it's so large you have to drive over a bridge. It is a mighty river, and that river's an inlet. If you stop it in its inlet form and don't let it flow out, that river will never flourish. It'll never grow. A river has to have an inlet and an outlet. You have that place where you're filled, and then you must allow God to manifest that river through you. That is God's perfect will for this church hour, to be filled and refilled with the Holy Ghost. In Luke chapter 4 and 18, it was Jesus himself who showed us the pattern of kingdom living. He stood up in that synagogue and he read the scroll of Isaiah. And the scroll of Isaiah, he turned and it said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." That is a picture of the present day Pentecostal church. Listen, the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus, but Jesus told the disciples, "Greater things shall you do because I go to the Father." He said, "It is expedient that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come." I'm glad this morning that he went away. I'm glad that he died for my sins and ascended to the Father, because once he did, he sent the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Whenever he was here, I had to be where he was. But today, he is omnipresent because of the power of the Holy Ghost. I can call on him even in the midnight hour, and he is just there. I'm preaching to you this morning on the manifest power of Pentecost. Amen. The manifestation of Pentecost. What do I mean when I say a manifestation? A manifestation is a sign that shows something very clearly. In our text in Luke chapter 16 says this, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." What kind of signs? Supernatural signs. Listen, we serve a supernatural God. Anybody that would say that miracles are not for today obviously don't believe the whole book. For our God is still a miracle working God. Miracles are for today. Listen, the book of Acts has never closed. And every book in the Bible, it has a closing. The only book in the Bible that does not have a closing at the end is the book of Acts. Why is that? Because it is still open. The Acts are those things the apostles did and the church did is still going on today. We are a book of Acts church. And when we're filled with the Holy Ghost of God, we can work the works of God. These signs shall follow them that believe. Supernatural signs from a supernatural God. Amen. You say, "Well, Brother Matt, what's the difference in what it used to be and today?" Because I can tell you, for the most part, the church in America as a whole, the Pentecostal church, is not the same. There was a time, and how do I know this? Because some of you older ones used to tell you, you've told me that. There was a time you could go to any Assembly of God church in America, and they were almost all the same. They all believed the same way. They all stood the same ground in the church of God the same way. They all contended for the faith that was delivered to the saints. But today, you're hard-pressed to find a church that still stands and adheres to the Word of God and the doctrines of the Word of God. Listen to me. Some of them won't even let you speak in tongues in church. They tell you to go in a back room. But let me tell you something. I'd run from that church. I'd rather go to a Baptist church than a Pentecostal that's ashamed of the Holy Ghost of God. Listen, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I am not ashamed of the gospel. What is the problem today? We've changed, but God has not changed. Hebrews 13 and 8 says this, "God is the same yesterday, today, and forever." So what's the problem? I'll tell you what the problem is. That guy that I look at in the mirror every day is the problem. We love to blame everybody else. We love to blame the preachers. We love to blame denominations. But listen to me. We have as much of God as we want this morning. If you're hungry, He'll fill you. If you're thirsty, He'll give you something to drink. You and I have as much as we want. Listen, you can get filled and refilled and allow God to manifest His power through you because God hasn't changed. I'm the problem, the man in the mirror. Amen. Throughout the history of the church, all God has ever needed was a vessel. You see, that God didn't have to use a human instrument, but He chose to. All throughout God's work, you can see this in the life of Moses. God could have delivered Israel without a man's help, but God chose a vessel to work through. It was that deliverer Moses is called. And then you see also Joseph. Joseph was not what you would call a picture of a man that would be a deliverer whenever he was first called. He was nothing but a boy. He was nothing but an ornery, braggadocious, arrogant little kid. But God had a plan for his life. He was that vessel. And one day, you see, one day he's in a dungeon. And the next day, let me show you how God can turn it around on a dime. He's in a dungeon one day. And the next day, he's riding in a chariot next to Pharaoh. I'm talking to you about a vessel today. All God needs is a vessel. All God needs is somebody who's willing. All God needs is somebody who'll say no to self and die to self, that God can manifest His river through them. Amen. There is no delay with God when it comes to revival. Amen. I know this may mess up theology across the board, but God is ready for revival at all times. God wants to see a move of His Spirit at all times. Why? Because people are dying every day. There are souls that are lost, and without revival, without getting the church revived again out of their place of complacency and lethargy and lukewarmness, listen, without getting us out of that place, many are going to die and go to hell. God wants to revive our soul, and all He needs is somebody who'll get hungry for Him, thirsty for Him, who will obey His word, and then we'll see revival. Revival awaits the obedience of the church, but the unpreparedness of the vessel hold back the blessings of God. I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about you this morning. The vessel that's unprepared, it stops the hand of God. This is why we preach about fasting. You know, fasting and the topic and the subject of fasting has been far removed from the modern day church. Why? Because we preach more about your best life now, and we preach about a cultivation of this old carnal flesh. We want to save everything to do with this old flesh. Well, Jesus said these words, any man who seeks to save his life, that man's going to lose his life. No, we are to afflict the old man. I'm to die to self that Christ, the Son of God, may live within me. I must decrease, and Christ must increase. That is the plan of God. That's a picture of the cross. Amen. I must decrease. He must increase. Through fasting, something in you dies and becomes a burnt offering unto the Lord. You see, every living creature on this planet requires food for survival. That is plants, animals, and humans. If you take food away from that organism, that living organism, something in that organism dies. Through the fast, whenever you afflict yourself, something dies and becomes a burnt offering unto the Lord. Listen to me this morning. We need to once again start pushing back the plate. If you really want to see a move of God, we've got to push back the plate. What's the hindrance to the vessel? What's going on, Brother Matt? I'll tell you what it is. Just like a river who has a dam blocking it up. We have hindrances in our life because of the flesh. that block up that river. And through the fast, that dam is broken. It's burned up. It becomes a burnt offering unto the Lord. And hear me this morning, church. Once that dam is broken, through the fast, that river can begin to flow again. Revival is on our shoulders, not on God. God just waiting on you and I to die to self so that He can manifest Himself through us. I'm telling you, church, when we really understand the pressure and the responsibility that's put on the church, there are souls out there that are lost, that are dying, and they're depending on somebody that has life coming in and out of them. Listen, whenever that river is broken or that river is allowed to be released, everything that river touches brings life. Whenever I was first filled with the Holy Ghost, 1996. I'm telling you, I didn't know a whole lot. I didn't have to know a whole lot. Amen. All I did was tell of the never dying love of Jesus. I said, listen, I don't know what you're going through, but all I can tell you is this. Just about 3 weeks ago, I was bound by sin, but Jesus saved me, filled me with the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you something. When I opened my mouth, a river came out and people began to weep. I tell you, Ezekiel saw a vision of that river in Ezekiel 47, and out from underneath the house on the side of the altar flowed a river, and wherever that river went and whatever it touched, it brought forth life. Life and life more abundantly. That's a picture of a Holy Ghost believer. Listen, your neighbor, your family, your friends are depending on you to bring life to every situation where you're at. The river, it is our responsibility. We've oftentimes become complacent. A little dab will do you. Woo! That was a good service Sunday morning. I felt the Spirit of God. Let's just see if we can coast to Wednesday night. That doesn't work. Amen. Listen, you need fresh manna off the showbread table every single day. You need to talk to the Master every single day. I read in just yesterday in St. John's Gospel chapter 15, Jesus said these words. He said, I'm the vine, I'm the life source, and you're the branches. Anytime that a branch, that's you and I, ever ceases to abide in the vine, that branch is cast forth, it withers, it dies. And he said, men come and gather those branches and cast them into the fire. I don't believe Jesus believed in once in the vine, always in the vine.
Amen.
Jesus did not believe once in the vine, always in the vine. Listen, me staying in the vine is an act of the will. It's an act of me walking with Him and talking with Him and calling Him my own. Church, let me tell you something. I, as an act of the will, fall in love with Him and stay in love with Him. I've got to keep myself in the love of God if I want that life to flow. No such thing as once in the vine, always in the vine. You can walk away. You can cease to abide in Him. And then you're cast forth, you wither, you die. And what happens? The angels come in the last day and cast those branches into the fire. In the river of the Spirit of God, every need of the believer is met. What do you mean by that, preacher? Every need. Everything that we have access to, in the river, it's met. Revival. Miracles. Healing, conviction, holiness, and everything that God wants for us to get us closer to Him and to work in this kingdom. Everything we have access to is in that river. Let me tell you, if you say you're full of the Holy Ghost and you don't live holy, you got a ghost, but it ain't the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Somebody say amen or oh me. His name alone talks about His holiness. He is holy. God is not just holy, but He's thrice holy. The angels cry out, holy, holy, holy. Listen, this charismatic world out there, they talk about their prayer language, their glossolalia, which is the tongues. Well, listen, if you get filled with the Holy Ghost, your cusser is going to not cuss anymore. It's going to get sanctified. Oh, church, the blood of Jesus cleanses and washes, and that tongue of fire, it'll govern your words. Oh, church, you'll live holy. You'll throw away the alcohol. You won't go to places of questionable amusement. He is holy. The Holy Ghost of God, He'll convict your heart and change your life. I don't give very much for somebody who speaks in tongues 1 minute and it'll cuss you out the next. They need to get saved. Well, I hit my thumb with the hammer. What was in that heart? Probably because you've been watching it on television. Whatever goes in that ear and that eye gate, there are windows to the soul, and it cultivates the thinking of man. Listen, I preach this all the time because this is a biblical principle that'll change your life. Whatever you feed on, you become. Whatever you feed on, you will become. Proverbs says, for whatever a man thinketh on in his heart, so is he. If you feed on filth and garbage, it's garbage in, garbage out. It's just that way. But if you'll feed on the good things of God, you'll get some Holy Ghost filled music. You'll read the Word of God. You'll be around those who are also full of the Spirit of God. That's what's going to manifest in your life. And it is imperative that you and I make sure that we're living separated and holy unto the Lord. When we get filled up, let me just preach to you about a few things that will be made manifest in the church through this manifestation of Pentecost. A few things that will manifest through this manifestation of Pentecost. Number one, it's things that we don't see like we used to see as much in the church world, but we can see it again. We may see a little bit of these manifestations here, but God wants to bring it in a full force. And when we pray and we fast and we come back, we're going to see it. Number one, a manifestation of holiness. Victory over sin. You do not have to willfully sin. Whoever came up with that? Well, I know who came up with it. It's the devil. You do not have to sin daily. Well, Brother Matt, my mind just keeps going in that direction, and I keep thinking these thoughts. Well, that's because you want to think those thoughts. You do not have to willfully sin. You can live separated and holy before the Lord. Well, Brother Matt, what if I do sin? Then we have an advocate with the Father. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm talking to you about a manifestation of holiness. There's a new doctrine out there. Once again, it's not new. But I'm hearing more and more in the last decade in the Pentecostal church. And they preach the cross, the cross, the cross. But they only preach one side of the cross. Paul said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. I thank God for the old cross. I thank God for the blood. Church, if it had not been for Jesus willfully going to that cross, I'd be doomed and damned for a devil's hell. But let me tell you something. There's another side of that cross. And Jesus said, any man that's going to come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. Any man who seeks to save his life will lose his life. Amen. I preach the cross, but I preach both forms of the cross. Amen. His cross that was for my redemption, and my cross that I must take up daily in order to stay in this thing. Oh, if I keep trying to preserve myself, I'm going to lose out with God. Oh, listen, I'm talking about a manifestation of holiness. I'm talking about a manifestation of separation. And listen, why is this connected to a manifestation of Pentecost? I'll tell you why. Because the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the power, the endowment from on high, it enforces every decision I make. Do you hear me? I said the Holy Ghost enforces enforces my decision. I'm not saying you have to have the Holy Ghost to get to heaven. I understand there is different ones who believe different things. But let me tell you something. It's a whole lot easier to make it to heaven with a baptism. The Lord knew that I needed the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I mean to tell you, I was a filthy, rotten scoundrel. I wish that I had a picture of a definition of a rotten scoundrel. That was me. The Lord knew in His all-knowing ways that I needed the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What does it do? It enforces my decision to live holy and separated unto the Lord. Listen, when I first got saved, I can remember I had been saved for about 3 or 4 days. And I had made up my mind, no matter what happens, I'm not going to go back. I'm going to love God. I'm going to serve God. And all those years when I would make a mistake, I would get so downcast, the enemy would whisper in my ear and he'd say, "You don't love God. Look at what you've done. You've wounded the Savior again." And I would listen to that and I would feed into that. And before long, I would just get away from God. I had made up my mind. I had read Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that He who hath begun a good work will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. I read that passage about a day after I got saved. I said, "Devil, I got you now. Oh, I know that as long as I keep coming back to that altar, as long as I cry out to the Master, He's going to cleanse me. He's going to keep His part as long as I will keep mine." Oh, church, I'm telling you, I read that passage about a day after I got saved, and the next day I miserably failed God. Have you ever done that? Am I the only one? And I said, "Lord, I have failed you again. I don't know what to do. I don't want to go through this cycle of defeat constantly." And I said, "Lord, will you baptize me in the Holy Ghost if it's real?" You see, I was raised in that Pentecostal church. And I remember I began to worship the Lord. I said, "Lord, I need the baptism. Will you please fill me with the Holy Ghost if it's real?" If it's real. Listen, these signs shall follow them that believe. I raised my hand. I'm going to tell you what happened to me. I began to worship Jesus. I just made that one request: "Fill me, Lord." And then I could just see Him in His glorified state. And I began to worship Jesus. And all of a sudden, out of my belly began to flow a river of living water. Let me tell you something. It is real. It is real. It is real. The Holy Ghost is still real. He still baptizes believers with the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. I needed it, and God gave it to me. Standards are good, and boundaries are necessary. But oftentimes, we make that our idol and our God. Listen to me. I believe that Christians are to be different from the world. Amen. We are to be different. We are to live holy unto the Lord. But first of all, We need to make sure that He is the centerpiece of our worship, not the do's and don'ts of religion. Amen. So many make their outward standard or some of the things that they do. And please don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with conservative look. And I appreciate that with men and women. And I agree with that. But whenever we focus in on that, but we got a tongue so long that we can wash somebody's car with. Look at me. I'm different from the world. Did you hear about Brother Brian? He is a no good. He probably don't even treat his wife good. I can guarantee you he does. But listen, we talk. Listen to me. It's more than just an outward standard. I believe in looking right and going to the right places. But I want my heart to get right. I want to be pure and holy. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they are the ones that are going to see God. A manifestation of Pentecost will produce a manifestation of holiness. Number two, a manifestation of the power over the devil. Many in the church are afraid of the devil. I've talked about casting out devils and experiences with demon-possessed people, and I'd hear people say, "Don't talk about that. That bothers me. I don't want you talking about the demon-possessed. I'm going to have nightmares." Listen to me, you and I have more power than the devil. Greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. Let me tell you something today. I got more power than the devil. Now listen, I don't come in my own stead. I'm not going to tell the devil to bring it on. I can tell you it was Michael the archangel in the book of Judah. He didn't come and bring railing accusation against Lucifer, but he said these words, Satan, the Lord rebukes thee. Listen, I'm not going to come in my own power. He'll whoop you all over the place. But if I come in the name of Jesus, there is no weapon formed against me that can or ever will prosper. In the name of Jesus, I command you to go, devil. And listen, through that power and that authority, the devil has to do what I tell him to do. He is subject to the child of God because of the manifest power of the Holy Ghost of God. Jesus cast out devils by his spoken word. You know, Jesus never touched the demon possessed. He only touched the sick with his hands. But with a demon possessed man or woman or a child, he would say it with a spoken word. He would command them to leave. It was a place of authority. And you and I have that same authority today. Listen, you don't have to be afraid of the devil unless, are you ready? You don't have to be afraid of the devil if your position with God is right. Now this position that I'm going to tell you about entails two things. You don't have to be afraid of the devil as long as you're walking intimacy with Jesus. You know him. You know him through his word. When you know him through his word, you won't just know him through his word, but you'll walk in that word. You'll obey that word. You know him through prayer. How do you know him? How do you stay right? You pray. You read his word. Listen, Smith Wigglesworth talked about that, the breath of that word, how it breathes on the inside of your facility, your human faculty, and it brings life to you. Let me tell you, there is no book in the world that's alive but this book. This is a living word, and once you get it on the inside of your bones, it'll be like fire shut up in your bones. Listen, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. To know him. Now I'm talking about position with God in power over the devil. Knowing Christ. You remember the seven sons of Sceva? In the book of Acts, they tried to cast out a devil and a man in the tombs. And we adjure you, they said, by the Jesus that Paul preaches, come out. The Bible said that demon-possessed man overcame all seven of them, stripped them naked, and sent them running out of the tomb. They didn't have proper position with God. Oh, church, I want to keep my position with God. I'm talking to you about the manifest power over the devil. My position's got to stay right. And what is the second thing this entails? Number two, holy living. You say, well, Brother Matt, what are you trying to say? Are you saying that we can have power over the devil through holy living? Absolutely. Holy living is necessary to win battles. You read in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 6, it was Joshua that told the people, sanctify yourselves today, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders. So today's sanctification, setting apart, making sure everything's right, positions me for the moving of God's miraculous in my life. Today's sanctification will bring tomorrow's wonders. Holy living. Look at Samson, the book of Judges. There were three vows that Samson could not break. Number one, he could not touch a dead body. Number two, he could not drink wine. And number three, he could not cut his hair. You know the story. Samson broke two of those Nazarite vows. He killed the lion with his hands and then went back and ate the honeycomb out of the carcass of the lion. He drank wine. And then Samson ended up telling his secret and allowing his hair to be cut. Listen, God is so merciful, and God gives all of us a space to repent. But there'll come a time that if we push God to a limit, God will give you a space, but there'll come a time that you'll shake yourself just like Samson did, and wist not that the Spirit of the Lord has departed from you, and you don't have power over your enemies anymore. Do you hear what I'm preaching to you, church? I'm talking about holy living. I'm talking about being sanctified. I don't want to be a target for the devil. I don't want to walk in this complacency or some kind of a secret sin. All of a sudden, the enemy has access to my life. No, I want to be saved and set apart and living right in the light of the coming of the Lord. Amen. One more illustration about this holy living. You remember the story of Israel, the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. You see, he wanted the priest to put a curse on Israel so he could defeat them. And the priest, the prophet said, listen, you can't curse something that God has blessed. He said, that's crazy. What are you talking about? We can't do that. This is God's people. He said, but I got an idea. If you will get them to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed to idols, God will remove his hand of protection. And the enemy will have access to their life. You know what happened? The men in Israel were seduced by the ladies in this other tribe, this wicked people, and they committed adultery. And what happened? They were defeated by their enemy. Listen, if we want the manifest power over our enemy again, listen, church, we've got to make sure that we're walking right. Our minds are clean. Everything is under the blood. I told the story about David Yonggi Cho that pastors the largest full gospel church in Seoul, Korea. It's actually the largest church in the world. When he was a young man, they were casting out a devil, him and like five board members. No reflection on our board members. But that demon-possessed man began to name every sin that them men were doing in secret. David Yonggi Cho, just a young preacher of the gospel, he was the only one left in that room to cast out the devil. Listen, whenever we have willful sin in our life, we are rendered powerless over our enemy. The doctrine of Balaam was to get you to do things you're not supposed to do, and the wall of protection comes down. Listen, church, I want the manifest power of Pentecost, and I want it to produce power over the devil. Time is too short, and what we do in the church, we must do quickly. Number three, the manifestation of Pentecost also produces a manifestation of miracles. In verse 17 of our text, and these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, drink any deadly thing, and it shall not hurt them. Let me tell you something. We don't take up serpents in this church. Somebody shout the victory. We don't believe there's any snake but a bad snake. I've heard people say, well, Brother Matt, don't kill that chicken snake. Listen, I ain't got nothing for a chicken snake. That's the grass snake. Them are good snakes. No, they're not. They may be good to you. You can take them home with you. But I'm going to kill every one that I see. Listen, those churches up in the foothills of West Virginia, they'll drink a little poison and handle some snakes. Let me tell you something. They need to get right with God. The Bible says, tempt not the Lord thy God. You better not tempt God. What that scripture means is if you accidentally did. Let me give you a scripture to back this up. Acts 28 in verse number 1. When Paul was marooned on the island of Melita. Barbarians everywhere. He picked up some wood for fire. And the Bible said a venomous beast attached itself to Paul. And the word of the Lord said Paul just shook it off. Oh, that's what the word of the Lord is talking about. But I can tell you this, Paul didn't pick it up and dance with it in a church house. Whenever the enemy comes in, listen, God knows how to protect us in every way that the enemy comes against us. I'm talking to you about a manifestation of miracles and divine healing is for us today. Oh, listen, deliverance is for us today. There are words of knowledge that are for us today. I understand that there's a lot more of that word of knowledge stuff that needs to be given out. If it doesn't match the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord says, you prophesy and it doesn't come to pass, you're a false prophet. I got a word for you, Brother Matt. Well, I got 66 books of the word of the Lord for you. Listen, I have had people come to me and speak something in my life that God spoke to them and it was real. And it transformed my life forever. But I want to tell you, you better make sure that you're living right. You better make sure that you have a prayer life. You better make sure that it aligns itself with the Word of God. Listen, if it doesn't match what the Bible teaches, pitch it in the trash. Throw it away. It ain't the Word of God. It's either the flesh or the devil. I want to keep myself in the love of God and keep myself walking in truth. A manifestation of miracles. What all does this encompass? Any kind of miracle that God would perform. Healing, deliverances, tongues, and interpretation. The question is this morning, do you believe in the supernatural or not? Through all my years in the ministry, hear me, I have observed that the people who regularly experience miracles are those who regularly expect to see miracles. The manifestation of miracles. You know, I've made comments that our classical, conservative Pentecostal churches have steered away from some of the manifest miracles of Pentecost because we see so much garbage out there. So much foolishness. Let me tell you something. There is foolishness out there. But God is still a miracle-working God. He still heals sick bodies. He still heals the sick. He can still cause a cancer to fall off your face if thou canst believe. All things are possible. Listen, God can speak to an individual. They can come and give you a word, and it can be from God Himself. Let me tell you something. God is a miracle-working God. I want to see miracles back in the church again. I want to see the manifest power of the Spirit of Pentecost in the church one more time. Amen. Brother Chris Cox is going to be preaching revival for us July the 22nd through the 25th. And Brother Clark will do something unique. Amen. He'll have a prayer line up here. And just as I say this, he won't do it this time. But he'll ask you. He's a little unorthodox. He makes me a little nervous, and that's why we have him. He'll ask. What's your problem? What do you have need of? Does it look like Brother Chris? Just a lot, about 2 foot taller? And he'll say, if Jesus was here, would he heal you? And you'll say, oh yeah, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. You believe Jesus is here? Do you believe Jesus is here? He's walking in the midst of the candlesticks this morning. He's in this house this morning. Do you believe? Do you believe? Listen, everything in this kingdom that we have need of is activated by faith. Do you believe? Do you believe? Listen, I said it a moment ago. Do you believe that God can heal? I can tell you He can heal. He is in this place today. As sure as I know that He died, bled on a cross, and went to heaven 2,000 years ago, I know He's in this house today. He is manifesting Himself. It all comes down to faith. Do you believe? Amen. Oral Roberts gave this testimony. I know that there were some of the men that I speak of whenever I talk about some of our pioneers of Pentecost. I understand that there may be some questionable things that were said. I know that in his later life he had said that if he didn't raise $1 million or something, God was going to kill him. I know it was wrong. He was older. I'm going to assume that he was losing his mind a little bit, okay? But Oral Roberts was mightily used to God. Mightily used to God. Oral Roberts made this statement. He said that whenever he knew God was going to start using him in the gift of healing, that his right hand would begin to tingle. And he said, when I laid my hand on someone, God would instantly heal them. Was it 100%? No. He said, but his statement was this. Someone asked him, well, what happens when you pray for somebody and they don't get healed? And he asked them, what happens when you preach to somebody and they don't get saved? I'm talking about the manifest power of miracles in the church again. God has not changed. Oh, listen to me. I've seen the Shekinah glory come down in a service where I could see the gray haze. Whenever God speaks through tongues and interpretation, do you understand what that is? That is the Holy Ghost of God manifesting through somebody. And God speaks and gives the word through that church. Do you believe? You must believe in order to receive it. We need some faith that's going to move out of the norm and into the supernatural. God wants to send Pentecost again. Are you willing to receive it? Miracles on the horizon. And God wants them for you if thou canst believe. Amen. Number four. Talking about a manifestation of Pentecost. And the fourth thing it brings is a manifestation of conviction. This has been one of the overriding marks of the Pentecostal church throughout the years. Someone come to the piano. It's Holy Ghost conviction. Holy Ghost conviction. When you walk into that service and the Spirit of God is moving, there may not even be preaching, but you feel conviction. I got to get out of here. I've been there. I've been in that pew in high school, and my mom told me, she said, "You're going to church Sunday." And of course, I would fake that I was sick constantly, but you can only fake so many weekends. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God began to move in that place. And it made me uncomfortable. It convicted me. Listen, conviction is not your enemy. Conviction's your best friend. Since I've been saved, I've been under conviction. I love conviction. God, deal with me. God, speak to my heart. If he has stopped convicting you, you're in trouble. Maybe your ear has turned a deaf ear to him so many times you can't hear his voice anymore. We need the manifest presence and the power of conviction again in the house of God. And I want you to think about this today. Think about the weight that's on our shoulders to stay prayed up, to stay separated unto God, to live holy. Why? Because if somebody comes in those doors that's lost and they feel no conviction, amen, how are we going to answer to God for that? Yeah. Conviction in the house. Conviction in the house. Can we stand all over this building today? A manifestation of Pentecost produces many, many things. I want God to fill me over and over and over and over again. Before we give this altar call this morning, I'm going to ask for, unless you just can't come, I want 100% in these altars this morning. Listen to me. I'm very, very on guard against somebody laying hands on someone else and telling them to speak it out. Speak it out. Come on. Speak it out. Speak it out. Speak it out. What happens? They speak something out and they're not really filled with the Holy Ghost. And then you've given them something in their mind and you've made them think that that's the power of the Spirit. You let God fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. But I will say this. Hear me. Hear me. Many of you struggle with the same thing I struggle with, and you want it to be real. We all want it to be real. Amen? We want it to be real. But it also takes an act of faith. It takes an act of faith of me moving into that when I feel God on me. How many of you believe it's God's perfect will to fill you with the Holy Ghost? It's God's perfect will, every one of you, to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, maybe it's not God's will for me to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes, it is. But man, I've sought the Lord for 15 years. It can't be God's will. It is God's perfect will to fill you. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to come around these altars this morning and we're going to talk to the Lord and we're going to ask Him to cleanse us. And then we're going to ask the Lord to fill us. I want everyone to come gathering close around these altars. We need a fresh infilling of the Holy Ghost. I believe in this house this morning, by faith, someone's going to get filled and refilled with the Holy Ghost. Come in very, very close. Let me ask you this question before everyone comes down here. If Jesus was here in the manifest bodily form, would you believe that you could be filled with the Holy Ghost today? Everything is by faith. Oral Roberts also said this when his ministry first started. Hear me. His ministry first started. He said, here's what took place in my life. The Spirit of God began to deal with me about moving into a healing ministry. And he said that he talked back to the Lord and said, Lord, how can this be? He said, I don't understand. I just don't have the faith to believe. He said, God spoke to Oral Roberts and said, I'm with you, Oral. I'm with you right now. The same God that was with him, the apostles, every man and woman of God that's ever graced this planet, he's with you today. And he said, something just took place. A light came on. He's with me. His faith ignited in his spirit man. Immediately, he said, something in me changed instantly when he believed. When he believed. Some of you, you've struggled constantly with trying to make something happen. You can't make it happen. It's God. It's the supernatural. But what is required of you is to believe. Believe. And whenever you believe, you got to begin to step into it. You got to walk. I'll say this and then we're going to pray. Talking about faith and supernatural faith. Brother Taylor, he had a vision many years ago. And it was a vast forest. And the trees, I want you to picture this. The trees were so close together, he couldn't even see in between the trees. And the Spirit of God said this. This is the way. Walk ye there in it. And he looked at the trees and he walked towards the tree and he said, Lord, there's no way I can walk in between those trees. They're too close together. And he said, the Spirit of God said this. This is the way. Walk ye there in it. And as he moved towards that trees, the trees, he said, I took one step towards the tree and it opened up just wide enough for me to walk through it. Supernatural. He took another step and it opened up just wide enough for him to walk through it. You see, this walk is a walk of faith. If you can figure it out, it's not faith. If you can see it, it's not faith. You must believe. I want us to bow our heads all over this house and let's ask the Lord to cleanse us from every sin. Lord Jesus, you know my heart. I'm asking you, Lord, that you would cleanse me and wash me, make me clean and pure in the blood. Lord, if there's anything in this heart that would keep me from being filled with the Holy Ghost this morning, refilled, I'm asking you, wash me this morning. Wash me this morning, Jesus. Jesus, I'm asking you if there's anything in this heart or any life in this altar that would keep them from being healed this morning by the power of Christ, I pray that you'd cleanse them and wash them. Let's just take a few moments. Just talk to the Lord silently as they sing. I want you just to talk to the Lord. Confess anything. Repent of anything you know. Listen, sanctify yourselves today, he says, for tomorrow the Lord will bring wonders and new wonders among you. Hallelujah. Your Spirit to flow over me. Jesus.